Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the It's Obvious podcast. This is episode 50. My name's Garrett Drake, and I'm joined by my best friend on Earth, Jacob Alka. Jacob, how are you feeling tonight?
I'm glad to be here, and I feel randy.
Randy?
Yeah.
Now,
for you.
Oh, my goodness. Jacob, tell me why you're feeling randy.
I'm just messing around.
So you're not feeling randy?
No, I'm not randy.
Then what are you feeling?
I'm just fine.
Okay, well, that's better than
I'm
nothing.
I'm still excited after seeing Civil War, which
right.
I saw this morning. So. Mm-hmm. And we just had our movie review discussion.
Yes, we have.
Which you should check out.
Yes, we have seen Captain America Civil War. We have reviewed it. If you've seen the movie, it's a spoiler review. We do some non-spoilers at the beginning. If you have or haven't seen the movie and you're interested in hearing our review, you can check that out at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming on our review playlist. That's if you're listening on iTunes or Audio Boom. If you're on YouTube, then you came to the right place. Jump to our review section, our review playlist.
There you
and,
go.
And it'll be waiting for you. So
with the other ones.
Yeah, we love the movie, but that's what we did this weekend. Jacob Alka, kind of tell me about your week. In addition to video games you may or may not have played, just tell me how your week went overall.
I had a very good week, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm finally done with school this semester.
That's awesome.
No more stupid papers.
Oh, amen, brother.
Yeah, I actually got really good grades on them. I finished the semester with a 3.5.
Jacob Alka, look at you
go. I got my GPA over 3.0 for the first time since my sophomore year.
That's awesome,
so
Jacob.
So I get hope for my last class that I need to take.
That's great. Jacob Alka, your GPA looks just as good as your pecs.
Wow.
So that's a great combination. There's a deadly combination.
Yeah, they must not look very good then.
No. It looks great. I approve of a 3.5. That's awesome. Mm. It ain't a 4.0, but Jacob Alka, 3.5 is great. It's a great KD as well. In fact, it's a phenomenal KD.
Yeah. I wish I was that good to get a 3.5.
You and me both. But Jacob, I...
Sorry, I wasn't done.
Were you not? Well, that's great, because I like hearing as much as you can tell me about your week, because my week wasn't very interesting.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear
it's
that.
Okay.
Well, on top of that, I had a lot of free time this week, because I also didn't tell work that I was off school yet.
Okay.
So I just wanted to have a week to... You know, relax and play some games and catch up on some stuff that I've missed.
Amen.
I spent a lot of the week, obviously, working out because I like working out.
You do that, and you look great because of it.
Yes,
something
I
don't
you,
do.
You tell me many times,
yeah.
And I appreciate them every time you
I
say
think
it.
I tell you at least once a podcast.
Yes.
And least. Most Let's Plays.
Yes. and you also say I look good in blue.
You do. Blue's your color. Brings out your eyes.
I played a lot of Dark Souls 3 this week.
Mm-hmm.
I am... Assuming, yeah, you beat the game.
I have
don't know
beat
what I'm
it.
Saying. I just beat Champion. What's his name?
Champion Gunder or something.
Gunder.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was interesting. He was a little more challenging this time around than the tutorial, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
His second phase was very terrifying when he like charges you.
Yeah. So that means you also beat I can't pronounce it right, Osirios, the Consumed King or whatever. What do you think of that boss?
Pretty easy.
Yeah, he wasn't too hard.
Yeah.
He was a fun one.
One boss that I did have difficulty on since we last spoke was the Dancer.
Dancer of the Real Valley.
That was very difficult for me.
Yeah, that one's a little tricky, but once you figure out her moves, it's not too bad. But it took me a bit to wrap my mind around her fight
as
well.
That one and the Abyss Watchers have been my most difficult so far. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, I don't know if you had trouble on this one, but from your video... Dragon Slayer armor. I beat him in like 5 attempts.
Oh, really? So. Preston told me it took him a few days to beat him.
Really?
Yeah. He and our buddy Paul, who I used to work with, said when they were off work, they would just go back to the hotel and play Dark Souls for like hours.
Yeah.
And he said that Paul, his first time ever playing Dark Souls ever, he got Dragon Slayer's armor more than halfway down, or
really?
His health more than halfway down. I'm like, wow, that's really impressive.
Yeah, for some reason, like, I could read his attacks really well.
Mm-hmm.
I just kept, like, dodging around. Like, I wasn't going backwards. I tried to, like, dive into him and avoid him that way, and it worked out really well. And, I've, like, explored most of,
Grand Archives?
Yeah, Grand Archives, and I'm about to go up to the last boss, the last Lord of Cinder.
Right.
So, that's where I am in Dark Souls, and also this week, the Overwatch open beta happened.
It did.
And I spent a lot of time playing that as well.
I noticed.
I spent one night with you playing, actually.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
And we had some videos that we made.
We did.
Which you can check out on our channel.
Yep, youtube.com/itsobviousgaming.
You're so good at that.
/itsobviousgaming on our Let's Play playlist.
Yes.
Two Overwatch
We got a lot of playlists going on.
We do. They're organized very nicely.
Yeah, they are. I applaud you for that.
Thank you.
And we had a lot of fun playing the other night, and I hope we can do it again before the beta ends. By the time this video is out, it'll already be done.
Yeah, I'd love to. I think what we have learned, or at least, I mean, I'm sure there's multiple combinations that are really effective, but what we've been doing, or at least when we played together, one of us would play as a tank and the other would play as a healer. For example, if I ran around as Reinhardt or Winston, Jacob would be behind me as Mercy, just healing me the entire time. So I'm like an unstoppable force capturing these bases. It's great.
That was fun.
It's great for offense and defense, but offense especially.
Yeah.
And it was just a deadly combo. Because even if I, by some miracle, died because you were healing me the whole time, you would have a revive by them. It just revived me.
My ultimate's a res.
Yeah, and then I'd go nuts again.
Yeah.
So it was really effective. And I recall once we kind of figured out that combination, it really helped us succeed a lot, which is fun.
Yeah, I think the heroes that stood out to me. Are we going to talk about Overwatch?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Right now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. The heroes I liked the most were... why can't I think of his name? Genji.
Mm-hmm. He's a fun one.
He's kind of difficult to use, but if you get him down, he's really fun.
Mm-hmm. My favorite ability he has is the fact that he can block with his sword, like incoming fire.
Have you used that against a Bastion?
No.
It kills him really quick.
No way, that's
when
awesome.
When Bastion's in his little turret mode,
just
block his attacks, he dies like that.
Now, does it like reflect him back at him? Does it do that for everyone?
Wherever you're pointed, it reflects in that direction.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't know that, because I thought they were just like were blocking the bullets off in different directions.
It's wherever you point.
That's awesome.
That's what makes it even better, that ability. I also like Roadhog. I spent a lot of time in the beta playing Roadhog. that hook ability is just so, you know, satisfying.
It is.
And he has his little shotgun. He's like, you know, grapple hook, shotgun in the face, they're dead.
Yeah.
Especially like a character like Tracer that has no health.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they die instantly.
Yeah.
It's really satisfying.
So those are my Tracer. It's very satisfying.
Yeah. I also enjoyed playing. I don't know why I can't think of their names today. The cowboy guy,
McCree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's really fun. You know, if you press the left trigger, he spams his handgun a last word in Destiny.
Uh huh.
That was really fun, and his ultimate is also really fun to use too.
It is.
Just get your targets in your sight and they die instantly. Mm-hmm.
That is really cool.
I want to hear a little bit more about you though. How do you feel about Overwatch from the beta?
Now I've only played, in addition to the matches we played in our video, I think we played three matches, and between our two videos we played three matches, or three rounds I should say. And in addition to that, I think I've played two more rounds since then. And
so you play with me a good bit. Like we played.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I forgot about that night.
We played at least six rounds.
Yeah, so I've played a solid at least a couple hours of the game, and I've played as every character at least once. I think my favorite, like, I don't know if like offensive character, I guess I could say, is probably, like you said, Genji. I like using him a lot. McCree is a close second.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive player, I'm trying to remember who's defense. I'll just jump to healer. I like Mercy out of all the healers. I think she's just the easiest to use, and I like her revive ability.
Out of the healers, I like Lucio the best.
Yeah, he's cool.
Because he does his healing passively. Like, if you're close to him, he'll heal you.
That's nice. Yeah. I see. I didn't realize that. That is nice.
I think that's how most of the healers are, actually, besides Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
I might be mistaken. I haven't played Symmetra, and I forgot how Zenyatta works, but continue. Sorry.
Yeah, but tanks... I think I have more fun playing as Reinhardt because I like his abilities, but for some reason I enjoy playing as Winston more.
Yeah.
Even though his abilities aren't as cool as Reinhardt's, I just love running around and being like, I'm not an ape, I'm a scientist. I think I said that like 15 times when I was playing as Winston. And then,
I remember that one match I was Mercy, I think, or Lucio or something, and I was running around healing you while you were going
in my berserker mode. Yeah, literally ape shit.
In that room.
Yeah, that was so funny. I'm a scientist. I was laughing so hard about that the whole time. And I love Winston's cinematic trailer. I think those trailers just help you get to know the characters and this lore so well. Yeah. And it's like when I see trailers like that, they're done so well, I just wish they would make a whole animated movie.
I just wish they had like a campaign or something to go with this, you know, only online shooter.
Right.
It's kind of unfortunate, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, the world is really fleshed out for just being a multiplayer game.
Yeah, the characters are all, I love how they all have unique personalities and unique abilities, and they're all in a way, I mean, obviously we enjoy playing some characters more than others, but they all play a role in winning a match.
Yeah, they're all viable.
And balance and teamwork is essential, which I love, because some games like Call of Duty, I mean, yeah, to an extent, you have to work as a team, but for the most part,
depending
if you're like really, really
play,
good,
yeah,
you can usually win.
Right.
But I like how a shooter or just any multiplayer game in general, I love the utilization of teamwork. I love teamwork and I love objectives. If it's just like team deathmatch, whatever.
Yeah. There is no team deathmatch in this game.
Right.
Because Blizzard really stressing teamwork and, mm-hmm, you know, objective-based game types.
Yeah, I love objectives and fighting for like a flag or a base, and I like how you have to have a balanced team. It's one thing to have just like skilled players. Like, it'd be one thing to have a bunch of tracers running around. It's like, oh, we're a bunch of tracers, but it's crucial to have like your tank, your healer, your defensive player, your offensive player. Like, balance is important. I like how when you're selecting your characters, it's like, your team has no tank or your team has no healer. It's like, you should try to balance this, which I think is cool because it encourages you, especially if you're someone who wants to win and likes teamwork, like I said, it encourages you to play as other players. It's like, oh, well, no one's playing as a healer. I guess I'll be a healer. No one's playing as a so-and-so. So
right.
I think that's cool. And I like the sense of teamwork. Blizzard, as we know, is a phenomenal developer. I know they're your favorite developer.
Yep.
They put out amazing games, and all their characters and all their games, whether it be a really fleshed out story or like this game, for example, where it's multiplayer only, you still feel that sense of like just the energy and the fun of all these characters, and really enjoy the game. I like the beta a lot. I know we're going to jump into it some more before it's over. And then the full game's coming out pretty soon. Is it the 24th?
24th.
Okay.
May.
Awesome. Yeah. That's in addition to Overwatch, which we had a lot of fun with.
What else did you play?
I played, let me start with Dark Souls because I have some unfortunate news.
Oh, no.
And I kid you not, Jacob, it like actually made me sad for a couple of days.
Don't say it.
Just bear with me here. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you keep up with this podcast, you may recall from last week that last week I was like, oh, I beat Dark Souls. It was awesome. I'm going to get the Platinum Trophy. It's going to be sick. Well, turns out I begin pursuing this Platinum Trophy. Now, I wanted to start with the rings because I already had a lot of rings.
Quick question.
Okay.
Are you doing New Game Plus or are you starting over?
Not yet. I'll get to that.
Oh, no.
So I'm remaining currently in my current playthrough because after you beat the final boss, you can either go ahead and go into New Game Plus or you can remain in your current playthrough. So I was like, I'm going to remain in my current playthrough and get as much done as I can right now before I go into New Game Plus.
Good call.
So I started with the rings and I only needed like 20 more. And there's 70 rings. I had 50 out of the 70. So I already had a good bit.
Yeah.
It's like, awesome. I don't have that many to find. This will be easy. Turns out a lot of them are pretty easy. They're like in obvious locations or just kind of hidden somewhere. There's like a little trick or something, like a hidden wall that I didn't see before.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like maybe 10 or 11 that were like that. I was like, oh, this isn't bad at all. Cool. I was watching a guide to find them all because obviously I don't feel like wasting my time just searching everywhere on my own. So I'm keeping up with the guy, and all of a sudden it starts getting to a couple rings that are like, no, this isn't a big deal. Thankfully, the rings aren't as cryptic as like some of the tomes or the miracles or the sorceries or blah, 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 blah. Yep. The rings are pretty simple. In order for me to get the last, I think I needed like 6 more rings. I had to kill a few more bosses again in New Game Plus. I'm like, well, that kind of sucks, but I was going to play New Game Plus anyway, so that's not a big deal. I'll get them then. So that I wasn't worried about. And I was making a list of all the rings. I'm going to pull
up
this list.
Yeah, I saw your list. It was in depth.
I'm going to show this list to our viewers as well, which I meant to mention, if you're watching this video, I don't watch podcasts. I know a lot of podcasts have videos. We do it just as a convenience, I guess, if some people enjoy at least seeing our faces for 5 seconds. If I listen to a podcast, I may glance at the video for 2 seconds and put it down.
I always glance at it when something funny comes up.
Right.
Then I'll like look away again.
Yeah. So just
because I want to see funny expressions.
Right. If you guys listen on iTunes or Audio Boom, just know that Jacob and I are both clowns. We are full-time clowns. We're in our full makeup right now with our colorful curly wigs, our noses, our big shoes, and our makeup.
Correct.
We're not the scary clowns. We're the very friendly birthday clowns.
Yes.
So we're very good at making balloon animals, just so you know. Well, that's what we look like, in case you didn't know. But what I meant to mention is that I should have said this at the very beginning. If you're wondering why you feel much closer to Jacob and I, that's intentional because currently, not only are you sitting on a, or not only are you seeing us through the lens of an iPhone 6 Plus that is duct taped to an iPhone camera stand that is broken, so we duct tape the phone to the camera stand, and the camera stand has these very stiff legs, and you're wrapped around a mic stand that you would see normally used on a stage presentation, which I think is hilarious that we use everything that you see, not really the table, but in addition to the mics, obviously, we use a mic stand now for our camera. We initially used a drum kit for the camera stand, and we also use a rack tom that you'd see on a drum kit to hold up a lamp that's duct taped to a practice drum pad. So all my old drum gear.
We like duct tape here.
We do. Duct tape really helps us out. If you didn't know, duct tape's an incredible tool. Probably one of the best inventions of mankind, for being honest. My girlfriend's calling me.
You can take a call.
I may have to, and may have to cut it out. If she calls me back, I'll have to take it.
You don't have to cut it out.
Well, it'd be kind of annoying. If I was listening, I wouldn't want to hear someone talk to their girlfriend.
I'll talk to him.
Okay.
Don't worry.
But anyway, so currently you're attached to a mic, and if you're at all interested in seeing how stupid it looks, you can refer to our Instagram page, which is also linked in the description, to see the picture of what you look like when we're looking at you, even though we look at the phone. I see right through the phone and see you. I don't know exactly what you all look like, but I've heard from a lot of you, and I love talking to you guys about anything we talk about. What was I talking about before that? Dark Souls? Is that what I was saying?
Yeah.
My list. So I'm going to show you the list in a minute, but I had the list of rings that I still needed. It was mostly from bosses. I'm like, okay, that's not too bad. I'm going to move on to the I think I called it, it's like pyromancy?
Pyromancy,
that's what it is. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
I'm an idiot. Sorry, that's not how you pronounce it. Pyromancy, I'm going to trust you, Jacob. I'm pretty sure that sounds correct. Yeah. So the pyromancy, I'm like, I'll move on to those now. I already have a handful of those.
You mean like the spells and the miracles and stuff?
Yes. Okay. So I get to those.
I think only some of them are pyromancies. Like, they're just spells.
Right.
So,
yeah, so I get to those, and I got all the ones that were easy to find, like in locations, and the rest I had to kill basically every single boss again. You have to trade their soul in to get these things, which sucks.
Okay, yeah.
I should have just trusted my gut when I started the game, and you know, when every time you kill a boss, you get their soul. It's like Flame of Vord of the Brio Valley or Flame of the...
Yeah, I haven't spent any of my boss souls.
That's a good call, because if you want to platinum the game, that's going to help you out immensely. Actually, that's probably going to solve almost all your problems.
Really?
Yeah, so at the beginning of the game, I was like, I probably should not spin these, but I was like, I get the feeling these are going to play a part later in the game, and I'm going to hate myself for doing this, but I'm going to consume them anyway because I want to level up. So I consumed, not all of them, but most of the boss souls.
Yeah. Oh, so, you can consume them?
Yes,
I thought
souls.
You just traded
and they,
them
they
to
give
that
you a
guy.
Lot of, they give you a lot of souls, no.
I thought you just gave them to that guy.
No.
Dude, I could be like level 100 and something.
Yeah.
I'm like 80 and I haven't used any of those.
Yeah, I'm 99 right now, mostly probably because I used a lot of those. It helped me boost up really quick.
Yeah.
But if you haven't consumed any boss souls and you're playing Dark Souls 3 and you have any desire to platinum the game, you'll do yourself a huge favor if you don't consume them, so don't do it.
Unless you just want to play through again,
right?
Which I might do at one point.
Yeah, I think that I'll get to how I feel about that as well, because originally I was like, I'm so pumped to play New Game Plus,
right.
But obviously I was like, man, I'm going to kill all the bosses. And now once I figure that out, I'm like, well, again, I'm going to play Dark Souls, I'm going to play New Game Plus, so that's not a big deal. Move on to the sorceries. Now, this is where it started to get to where this became more and more tedious and more depressing to me. I get to some of the sorceries, and a lot of these things, I think even a couple of the rings, you have to grind so hard to get
like
a couple things.
Farm a mob.
Yes.
It only has a chance to drop.
Now, I did all the things you need to do to be able to farm correctly. I got the ring that, it's like 99, not 99, it's like
higher
enemies.
Drop chance.
Yeah, higher drop chance. I also got that, the mimic helmet that's like the mimic head.
Oh, yeah.
That also, it's like, it drains your health the whole time, and it's like 99% of the time people are going to drop something. Now, that's true, but they don't always drop what you need.
Right.
And certain enemies drop what you need quicker than others. For example, I think it's the Dark Moon Covenant, to get the Dark Moon Ring, you have to have like 30 something. I can't remember exactly what they drop, but you have to have 30 of these things. I'm like, okay, I'll just go grind these guys for an hour and hopefully I'll get everything I need. I think I killed these two guys in this section it told me to go grind in. I swear, Jacob, I spent 45 minutes. I got one out of all that. I was like, this is not worth it. And then I started reading online, and people were saying, like, I was able to grind these way easier before they made this update. I think they changed it to where you can't grind these guys as easy. I was like, man, that's so annoying, and I don't have time for that. I was like, I literally, like, I don't have time to grind all day. So I'm like, that really sucks, but I'll get to it eventually. There's several things like that from different things. You have to grind to get the stuff. Now, grinding's one thing. I'm like, that's not too bad. I'll do it eventually when I have time. But then started getting to miracles. Now when the side quest stuff comes in, it's frustrating because, one, it's very easy to miss the side quests in Dark Souls. I mean, they're all over the place. I mean,
there's literally no indication for them.
Exactly. And, for example, there's some... Let me read some of this.
The only reason that I have found some is because I'm playing alongside a guide as I play through this game.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I don't really care about the story.
Yeah. Well, I when I got to some of the miracles, it's like... to get this certain tome, you have to do this thing, and you can only give it to this person at this time. Otherwise, yeah. they'll go away, and you'll never get to give it to them, and you'll have to start over. I was like, ugh. Yeah. So that's one thing. And then it's like, once you get this tome, don't give it to the person you'd normally give it to, but instead go to this person. But to get this person, you have to find this person first. And it's like all over the place. I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is confusing. I'm taking like notes upon notes upon notes and watching guides and guides, trying to figure it all out and wrap my head around it. And I could do it, but it is so cryptic and so tedious. I was like, I literally don't have the time for this. It's physically impossible for me to do this. Even if I really wanted to, which I do, I just don't have the time because of work and stuff.
It's definitely obvious that the Platinum Trophy, like, it wants you to play through multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Now, that I'm not opposed to. If it wasn't so complicated and, like, you have to give it to this guy before you kill this boss, or then you have to give it to this person by doing all of these things, it's like, I just don't have time for it. It's just so tedious. And I love Dark Souls 3, dude. I like it so much, especially upon beating it. And when I first started trying to find all the rings and stuff, I was finding all this cool armor I hadn't found before. I was finding all these cool things and doing side quests that I hadn't done before. I'm like, wow, this is really fun. I love this. And the game as a whole, even though obviously I had my frustrations with it at times fighting bosses, I love it so much. I think it's a ton of fun. And I know we said last week we're hoping for Dark Souls 4. I said that last week the same way. We're hoping for another Dark Souls. If not, I think it's safe to assume we will get at least another Bloodborne. I'm super pumped for that. I mean, I love Dark Souls so much to the point where I was like, I kind of want to play Bloodborne again, but obviously we have Uncharted coming out, Overwatch is coming out, Doom is coming out shortly after that, Mirror's Edge, ton of stuff coming out, so we're going to be way too occupied to do that.
When did May turn into November?
I love it. I'm fine with it. But because I love, well, if I was in high school, I'd love it more because we wouldn't be in school. Be like, let's play video games all summer. But when, you know, when you work full time, it's like not really summer. It's not the same.
That's the thing. Like, I don't even know if I'm going to have time for Doom. Like, I might not even pick it up for a while.
I think
because I'm going to need a couple weeks for Uncharted.
Right.
So
this might be an idiotic decision.
And Ratchet and Clank, which I haven't beat.
Yeah, I have stuff to say about that as well. But not to get too off topic, but speaking of Doom, I think a good series that I'm going to talk to Preston about, I want you to be included as well. This could be very dumb. It may only last one episode, but if we're lucky, it'll last 10 episodes. But in the beta, me and Preston did not lose a single match. We were unfreaking stoppable in the beta. I was like, dude, I'm thinking maybe we should start a series called Undefeated in Doom or something like that and see how many episodes we can make it without losing. And every video will say, look, we still haven't lost. We'll go to our win-loss ratio and prove we have not lost yet. And then just go and go and go and see how far we make it.
The first game, we just lose horribly.
Can you? Oh, yeah, that'd be hilarious. Then obviously it'll be a dud of a series, but I think it'd be something fun to try just to see how it goes. Obviously, I'm going to tell Preston when the game comes out, I will not play that, or at least I won't play the multiplayer without you, or at least both of you, because I want to see how long we can go without actually losing. Because it was not. It's one thing to play like 5 or 6 matches, like, oh, we're going on a spree. We won like 46 matches without losing. It was insane. Like I told you, we were beating people so bad that we were literally laughing maniacally, like supervillains. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So I think that's something fun to try. Anyway, back to Dark Souls. It got so tedious, so crazy. I don't have the time. So I literally had to let go, Jacob. Oh. You know, letting go of something you really care about and something you're committed to sucks, whether it be a breakup or a job or something else you're pursuing. Like, for example, if we ever had to give up this YouTube channel, I'd probably cry myself to sleep tonight. For a whole year.
It'd be very sad.
I'd bounce back, but I love this YouTube channel, which I meant to say, I get so pumped about this every week. I get so excited to do this. I have fun putting our notes together.
That's why I show up every week.
Amen, brother. We've loved this from day one, and we love talking to you guys. I know I say it probably at least once a week. We do not say this to try to get more views. We don't say this to keep you guys around. We don't say it to make you happy. I mean it with every fiber of my being when I say we are so thankful for those of you that not only watch the video, but like the videos, have subscribed, and especially when you start conversations with us, because at the very beginning of this, you know, normally, I would imagine some people are like, let's start a gaming channel to be popular and play games, and maybe we'll be successful, blah, blah, blah. The conversation we had literally was, we had conversations like you're hearing right now on Xbox Live or PlayStation Network all the time. We're like, dude, it'd be fun if we had a podcast. We were inspired by a lot of other podcasts and a lot of other YouTube channels, and we were like, I know a lot of people have gaming channels, but let's just make our own because we like talking every week, and let's put it on the internet and see who else wants to talk to us about it.
Yeah.
And that's cool because there is the community. I hope you guys don't mind us calling you the It's Obvious community. I'd like to think that we're all friends here by this point. We're not massive, but it has grown over the year we started. We have like some solid people. I mean, just off the top of my head, you know, we have I think it's Felipe from Switzerland, not Argentina. My mistake last time. I do know someone from Argentina. But Felipe, we have Edgar, we have Dan Lester, good friend of ours.
Yeah. He helped us out.
Yeah.
Something.
There's Mr. Hines as of recently. There is Edgar Us. There is what's exciting is that it's getting to a point where I can't even keep track of all the names. I just know them when I see them.
Yeah.
And I've talked to you guys multiple times, and it's awesome. So it sucks because getting back to the letting go thing, I just had to accept the fact that I literally don't have time, at least right now, to pursue this platinum trophy. And it sucks because I was having so much fun with the game. It wasn't because I was like determined to get the trophy just to have the trophy. I just was having fun playing it. I was like, this sucks. I don't have time for it. The only reassuring thing is that we have all these other games coming out to play. So that's fine. But as soon as I accepted the fact that I didn't have time for it, I was like, man, I'm so bummed that I don't have time for this. I'm just going to have to accept the fact that I can't do it and move on.
Yeah.
Jumped into Ratchet and Clank. Beat the game. I am pursuing the Platinum Trophy for it. I only need like a handful more. I got all the gold bolts. I did a couple of the other little things. I got all the gold medal stuff and did all the complete the hoverboard race in this amount of time, which I think might be a little glitched, or they just made it really easy. Because, for example, I did the one in Rilgar, and I was going, and I realized that I was like going to be 7 seconds too late. And before I even crossed the finish line, I just quit so I could start over. And when I quit, it still gave me the trophy.
It's what?
Like, you beat the race in the right amount of time. I was like, is this glitched?
Wow.
And then
maybe you quitting out just counted as a completion.
Maybe. I was like, is that like messed up? But I was fine. I was like, well, it gave me the trophy. I don't care. And the race that you also have to do it in a certain amount of time. I didn't even win. I came in like second place, but it still gives you the trophy if you do it in the amount of time, which is nice. But that game, dude, so much fun.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's like the story was fun. The characters were super entertaining. It was a beautiful game. The gameplay was so refreshing in the sense that I just came off of Dark Souls, and it isn't like complicated gameplay, but it's just very difficult, very straining, and I'm always on the edge of my seat and feel tense, and I'm always like freaking out about everything. And then to just relax and take a breather and jump into this beautiful cartoony fun world and just play a good old-fashioned shooter, that's how I describe Ratchet and Clank, or at least this reimagining of the first game, is that it's just good old-fashioned fun in video games. It's just the weapons are a ton of fun. It isn't overly complicated. You're just jumping around shooting your weapons, and it was just it was very enjoyable. The humor was awesome.
That's how a lot of games used to be. Was
good old fashioned fun.
And Clank,
and it gets me excited for I remember we way back in the day we talked about Yooka-Laylee's in development. Originally the guys that did Banjo-Kazooie are working on it, which is exciting. I want more games like this, especially playing this. It just like really brought back those childhood feelings I had. Like the whole time I was playing the game, it just reminded me of being in like middle school or early high school. It was like a summer day. It was hot outside. I just gotten home from the pool. I'm like, I want to play a game. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that I played, but it just reminded me of being a kid and just playing video games. I loved it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets me excited and hopes that maybe one day, I know we talk about Sucker Punch, Lord willing, they're making that Spider-Man game. If not, I'd love to see another Sly Cooper. I just love the simplistic, fun gameplay. I loved Ratchet and Clank. I'm excited to say that I will get the Platinum in that because it's not hard.
Oh, I will too, eventually.
Yeah.
It might be a while, but I'll get there.
Yeah, I'll probably have to take a break from it because obviously Uncharted's out this week.
Yeah.
Hope you all are enjoying Uncharted 4. I imagine we are as well because if you're listening to this, we're probably playing it by now.
If it's Tuesday, then I will be playing all day.
You and me both.
I am off work.
I may even leave work early to play it. I'm going to be real.
Guys, I got to get out of here.
Yeah. But
something needs my attention.
That is nice about my current job is that I have important tasks to complete every week, and I take them very seriously because not only am I passionate about them, but I want to serve the church I work for to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
But it is nice in the sense that, like, I'm locked to a certain amount of hours a week and I'm locked to certain tasks, but if there's some days I need to leave early or come in late, I can do that. For Uncharted,
that
for example,
nice,
I can stay a little later on Wednesday or Thursday and leave early Tuesday and play some Uncharted.
There you go.
Which is really nice. That's why I love my new job. I'm very thankful for it.
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm glad you're happy.
I am. Thank you, Jacob. But I kind of want to jump into the news because my girlfriend is probably going to be upset with me if I miss dinner tonight. We have a very important dinner date with her grandmother, who I will say is, without a shadow of a doubt, the sweetest old lady I've ever been in my life, and I will not dare disappoint them. So let's jump into this news, Jacob. I'm sorry for rambling on. Loved Ratchet and Clank. That's what I did this week.
Okay.
In fact, let me tell one quick story before we jump into the news. That is, I guess, technically related to video games. I thought this was kind of hilarious. So there was an event at the church I work at the other night. An event invites newcomers to kind of get to know the staff and get to know what the church stands for, blah, 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 blah. So obviously, not only am I a part of the staff and introducing myself and talking to people, but I'm also responsible for all the sound and music and presentation that's happening for this thing. So lead pastor gets up to kind of talk about the church a bit, and I'm like off to the side, just sitting in a chair, just listening. And all of a sudden, this kid who was an attendee coming to the church to kind of get to know the staff and everything is looking at me. He's probably like 14 or 15. He's probably early high school, and he's just looking at me. I noticed him looking at me, and I was like, what's this guy's problem? So
what do you want, kid?
I finally like make eye contact with him. And he looks me in the eyes, and he's just staring at me. It was kind of like that Kylo Ren and Poe Dameron moment. He's like, who talks first? Am I going to talk first? You talk first? It was kind of like that, but I didn't say anything. So he finally just leans in. I'm like, I have no idea what to expect. And he just goes, hey, what do you do for free time? And I sat there for a second. I was like, why is he asking me this? But I just played along. I was like, you know, honestly, man, I play a lot of video games. That's all I said. And he just looks at me. And just turns around and looks away. That's all that happened. He looks at me, stares at me. What do you do in your free time? I'm like, honestly, I just play a lot of video games. Stared at me at least close to 10 seconds. It was the most awkward thing. Stares at me.
And you just stared back.
I just stared at him, just waiting for a response. And he just turned around. And that's the last thing he said to me the whole night. It's like he was disgusted with the fact that I play video games in my free time or something. It was very bizarre. That's my only other video game story. Jacob, let's jump in.
I don't even
know
what to say about that.
I know. It's really weird. That's why when I tell the story, I'm like, I don't know why I tell the story because it's so weird and pointless, but that's why I'm telling it. Yeah, thanks. I hope you enjoyed at least some of it.
Yeah.
Jacob, we're running behind. How far are we into this?
It's been a while.
I can't tell.
Do you have your timer still going?
No, I don't. I can't see it from here. It's too far away. Yeah. Oh, well. And I actually printed our notes this time because I usually read it on my phone and it's so small that I'm like stumbling over my words, which I'll probably still do because I'm a bit of an idiot sometimes. But
that you are.
Yeah, I printed it out so I can see it easier. Let's jump in. It feels very official. This is truly a radio show now, which is exciting. Jacob, here we go. I feel kind of awkward when I sit on the corner of this table. I look so stupid in the video. I'm sorry, but this is the best way I can read it. Jacob Alka, let's jump in.
That's me.
Yep. Battlefield 1. That's actually the title of the game, Battlefield 1.
I like
We've seen the trailer. Dude, it looks really exciting.
Doesn't it look awesome?
It does.
I didn't know if this would work, but I think it's going to work.
Right. Now, obviously, there are the rumors floating around. It's going to be World War One. Yeah. We're like, what the heck?
What? How's this going to work?
We were open to the idea, but we're like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Based on the trailer, which I have a description of the game itself that really puts things into perspective, but just before reading this, seeing the trailer was like, I think this is World War One, but it's a very unique, kind of crazy take on it. It's like, wow, this looks super exciting for World War One. So I was a little thrown off. What'd you think?
Same thing. The trench warfare. Like, there was one scene where a guy was running through the trenches. That was really cool. The flight battles. Mm-hmm. Those planes look so awesome.
Yeah, they did.
What else? The blimp at the end of the trailer. That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the main things.
The horseback. You can ride horseback.
Oh, the horsebacking. Yes. Yep. Yeah, I'm excited.
Dude, we've never ridden a horse in a game. It's going to be so sick.
Yeah, never.
Keep telling me about it for 5 more seconds. I got to take a sip of water.
Okay. I really hope Roach is in this game, you know.
Yeah, me too. And
a
I hope Epona's in it.
Yeah.
I also hope not only Roach, but D-Horse from Metal Gear. I hope we have all those options. D-Horse specifically is my favorite.
Yeah, I like Roach, even though he might not be the best controlled. He has a special place in my heart.
Yeah, he's a great horse.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I got water all over my notes.
Oh, no.
Unfortunately,
so much for having good notes.
I know. I kind of ruined them already.
And also, they stressed. I was listening to the live stream a little bit when they revealed it, and they're stressing that there's going to be a lot of melee combat.
Really? Like swords and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. I know there were swords.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be swords in the game.
That's cool.
It's going to be less... I mean, there's going to be guns, of course, but it's going to be less than it usually is about guns.
That's cool. Before I read the description of the game, let me say that I have high respect and I love the fact... or I should say I have a lot of respect for DICE for taking this bold move because... Naturally, you'd think like, oh, futuristic stuff is popular, jumping around and flying around like crazy is really popular right now. But the fact that they're going back in time, which everyone's been really hoping for, is bold to me. I think it's really cool that they're doing this. Jacob, here's a description of the game. Battlefield 1 reinvents the history of warfare by taking players to World War I in this epic entry into the first-person shooter franchise. Through ever-changing environments at the dawn of all-out war, no battle is ever the same. The game takes you across multiple and varied locations in a bid to fight your way through immersive battles, from tight urban fights in a besieged French city to big open spaces in the Italian Alps and frantic combats in the deserts of Arabia. Discover a world at war through an adventure-filled campaign. Before I continue, let me say that I've never been blown... With the exception of Bad Company, I've never particularly enjoyed the Battlefield campaigns. This already gets me excited.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is... I want to play the campaign more than the multiplayer.
Yeah,
I just want to relive the World War One.
Yeah, like I've never played a World War One game, so this sounds awesome.
Yeah, this is the first time I'm excited for a Battlefield campaign.
Yeah,
if there is one, which I assume there's going to be.
Oh yeah, that's pretty much what I just said. Yeah, an adventure-filled campaign. So continuing on, only in Battlefield One will you bring a horse to a tank fight and a squad up with your ally and squad up with your allies in epic multiplayer battles with up to 64 players in a true multiplayer sandbox experience. Take to the skies and engage in high octane dogfights through treacherous landscapes, or have a battleship obliterating the coast from the sea and engage in some of the biggest battles ever seen as empires clash for supremacy. That sounds really exciting, like the description. Yeah. And it's cool. As cool as the plane fights look, I've always sucked at flying planes in
me
games.
Too, yeah.
Maybe I'll just
Battlefield.
I'd love to, like Andy Bynum, for example. Zach, if you guys may or may not know Zach, he's been on a handful of our podcasts and stuff. He's a good friend of ours. Currently lives in Orlando. Miss him every day. I'm sure one day he'll make an appearance on this show again. But his little brother, Andy...
He does not live in Orlando.
He does not. Andy still lives in state. But Andy is a very good, not only a good first-person shooter video game player, I should say, but flying planes, specifically in Battlefield
3. He's a good Battlefield player.
Yeah, flying the jets, I've never seen... I've seen some crazy stuff on YouTube, but... Yeah. He blows my mind watching him do the dogfights. He's unstoppable. Yep. He's essentially Black Leader Poe Dameron from Star Wars. That scene where he's flying over Maz Kanata's castle, shooting all the TIE fighters, that's basically Andy in Battlefield 3. So he's amazing. And I was going to say, I don't know if I'll have a PS4 at the time. I'm definitely going to get this on PS4. I regret getting Battlefront on Xbox One
because
I just liked it on PS4. Yeah. But,
I thought all our friends were going to play it, but it didn't work out like that.
If Andy had PS4, I'd want to just be his co-pilot. I just want to be his gunner and him fly us around because he's just a phenomenal flyer. Yeah. I suck at it, but like you said, it looks really cool.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to start knocking stuff out, Jacob, because I am running out of time.
Okay.
But I don't want to I feel bad because I think we rushed last week too, but unfortunately, that's life sometimes. But Jacob, continuing on, obviously Infinite Warfare was confirmed. We've seen the trailer. Give me your thoughts.
Just thought I looked okay. I mean, it's another futuristic shooter. We're getting so many of them from Activision and Call of Duty now.
It just feels like, so stale at
this
point.
It looks cool. I mean,
it does.
It's going to be in space this time, and then we're going to be fighting in space in a jet or a spaceship, whatever it is.
Right.
You're going to be customizing it. That's kind of cool, too. It's something new. I'm going to play it, of course. It's Call of Duty, but I'm not like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
It's just another futuristic shooter.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting used to it at this point.
Yeah. At this point, the aesthetic is stale to me, but I will admit that I had a smile on my face when they fly into space because that was the big rumor. Everybody's like, are they going to space? And when they flew into space with the song playing, I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But
the song fit the trailer well.
It did. And
it's by, he just passed away. Who was it?
Prince?
No.
It's not. I was going to say, it didn't sound like a Prince song to me.
Oh my gosh.
The guy with the blonde hair. We weren't fans, so I don't know his name.
How can we forget this?
I'm not looking it up. The musician that died.
Yes.
White guy.
Yes.
Blonde hair. He's an actor as well. Harry Bozeman. I can't remember his name.
I gotta know.
Okay, you look it up. I'm going to continue talking about this. The trailer was intriguing enough. It's cool that they're going to space. Obviously, everyone's given the Halo comparison, which we said before this was officially announced. We're like, dude, I hope they just fight aliens. If you're going to go to space, just go all out. That doesn't look like it's the case, but there are robots. I mean, I guess that's also futuristic, as we know.
Yeah.
But the trailer was okay, but obviously at the end where they show the Modern Warfare 1, or Call of Duty 4, I should say, remastered it. Okay, I got to take this. Guys, we'll be right back.
That song was called Ziggy Stardust. That was one of his songs.
Okay, Ziggy Stardust.
That's
what
not
was
his
name.
I don't know.
Oh,
you
gosh.
Took the phone away from me.
Oh, sorry. Here, keep looking it up. I'm talking
about... Where's Safari on your phone?
Oh, it's in a folder. It's not yours. It's 12:15. Now everyone can hack me somehow remotely. It's in this folder right there. I'm going to laugh if I think of his name before you look it up. I don't know. I keep wanting to call him Harry Bozeman for some reason. That's not even close to his name. He's a huge star. I was never a fan, so I don't know his name. I forgot. There it goes. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
David Bowie.
I got the bow part right. I wanted to call him Harry Bozeman. It was David Bowie. Yeah, the song fit the trailer. But they also showed Modern Warfare 4. Modern Warfare 4. Modern Warfare 1. Yeah. Call of Duty 4. It's a little confusing to say it that way. But I'm excited about that. It is confirmed. Yes. I know a lot of people
only with the specific edition.
Yes, the $70 edition. Which isn't bad. 10 more bucks for the remaster of that.
Right, yeah.
That's awesome to me.
That's smart on them, though. Like, they can't release them both separately. Or right. No one's buying the new Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm. I understand why people are upset about that. But in a business standpoint, it's kind of what they have to do.
It makes so much sense.
I'm fine with that. I don't care. Yeah, I'm going to play the new one regardless. So that's fine to me. Right. But I understand why people are upset. But
are you really excited for the remastered?
I am. I'm very excited.
Are you going to be playing it a lot? Or?
Oh, definitely. I imagine I will when it comes out.
I don't know. Like, you guys are going to have to sell me on it because it's an old Call of Duty. I don't know if I'm really going to be into it. There's
Now, imagine every Call of Duty you've played just simplified completely. There's only three kill streaks.
That's the thing, though. Like, I don't know if I like simplified.
Okay. Well, simplified in the sense that all the customization... Now, the perk system's a little different. It isn't pick 10. It's like...
Yeah.
It's limited. There's like three sections. You can only pick like one from each section.
Right.
But it's simplified in that sense. I mean, you can still customize your guns, but you can't do like crazy, like five attachments on it. You can only do one attachment on each gun. It sounds like very limiting at that point, but at the same time, it's very liberating because it was very simple and there's only three kill streaks. There's a UAV, a airstrike, and a helicopter. Whenever you got a helicopter, it's go time because you get a lot of kills that way.
Do you control a helicopter?
You do not. And you did in Modern Warfare 2. That's when they brought that in. But in Modern Warfare 1, I pray that... Is that my father mowing?
I don't know.
Let me see. It is. This may or may not be a problem. I don't know.
We'll see.
Well, if you guys are willing to... If you can even hear it, I don't know. Sometimes my editing gets noise out pretty well.
Yeah.
Maybe this won't. If it's annoying, I apologize, but we're just going to keep trudging through and hope for the best.
Let's do it.
But, yeah, I'm really excited because it's very simple. I just have a lot of nostalgic feelings for Modern Warfare 1. And not only nostalgia, it's just a great game. It was very successful at the time, and a lot of people still love it, and a lot of people have been hoping for it, Preston and I included. So we're pumped for that, and I'm moderately excited for the new one. Obviously, I'm way more excited for the remaster, but, you know, Infinite Warfare. More Call of Duty. Yippee. And also, I meant to say, before we got into the Call of Duty stuff, that Battlefield 1 is confirmed to be coming out October 21st of this year. Included in October is also Gears 4 and Mafia 3. So we got a pretty big month in October. Man, that lawnmower. Yeah. I'm just going to wait till it circles back around. That's really disappointing that that's happening right now.
It is.
Oh, well. Moving on, Jacob, Mighty No. 9. This is from Nicole Carpenter of IGN. Quote, Mighty No. 9 will be released in North America and Asia on June 21st. Mega Man creator Keiji Inafune announced today, the game will be available worldwide on June 24th. According to a post on Mighty No. 9's website, Mighty No. 9 has gone gold and is now in its final stages. After facing multiple delays, the game's release date is now set in stone. Quote, it's been almost 3 years since the start of our Kickstarter campaign, Inafune said. Which was only made possible through the support of our backers and fans around the world. And although the various delays have disappointed fans, the developer is happy to be able to deliver the game to everyone who bought it this far. Inafune has also spoken about the stress of developing Mighty No. 9, and the consistent delays certainly added to that. However, Inafune tells fans that there will be no further delays for Mighty No. 9. While Mighty No. 9 will hit consoles on June 21st and 24th, portable versions of PlayStation Vita and Nintendo 3DS will follow at a later point, end quote.
Mm.
Now...
That is a delay.
Yeah. Yeah, in a way, yeah, for the portable versions. But do you have? Are you at all excited for Mighty No. 9?
I'm going to try it, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I've always heard good things about Mega Man. It's the guy that made Mega Man.
Have you played any of the Mega Mans?
I played an older one. I don't remember which one it was.
Okay.
I wasn't very good at it. I was very young, so.
Yeah, the bulk of my Mega Man experience was on Super Nintendo. As a child, I played the X series. Yeah. I played a little bit. I think it was X3 and 4, but I played mostly just the original X. Mm-hmm. I still love that game. It's one of my favorites, and I also played it when it came out on Vita.
Yeah.
Again, the 3D version, which is cool. And, yeah, I love Mega Man X specifically. Now, I have the Legacy collection on PS4. I haven't played through all of them yet. I feel like I should make it a goal of mine to play through those before Mighty No. 9 just to really appreciate, like, the development of those games leading up to Mighty No. 9. But as we know, it's a spiritual successor from the original developer, which is cool. I've always been intrigued by Mighty No. 9. I think it's cool. Hopefully, it's interesting. I imagine the gameplay will be great. It's very obviously a very talented, successful developer. Oh, that lawnmower. I'm so sorry if you can hear it. But, I was going to say, it sounds like a motorcycle out there. It's almost like they're doing it on purpose. But yeah, Mighty No. 9 looks exciting. It's cool that we finally have a release date. I like how all these rumors that have been floating around and games that have not had release dates are kind of coming full circle. We're hearing release dates. We're hearing announcements that are confirmed. Now we just got to wait for like all the new console stuff that's floating around.
Right.
But moving on, Jacob, Uncharted 4's multiplayer DLC has been mapped out. This also comes from Nicole Carpenter of IGN. Quote, Uncharted 4, Thief's End multiplayer, a thief end. A Thief's End multiplayer content has been detailed on the PlayStation blog ahead of the game's May 10th release date. Now, if you're listening to this on Monday, May 9th, tomorrow Uncharted comes out. So get excited about the DLC if you like the multiplayer. Continuing on, developer Naughty Dog has implemented a new philosophy with its multiplayer content, and that includes making all Uncharted 4 multiplayer maps and modes free. Wow, I did not know that. I didn't read this before I wrote it down. Holy
yep,
crap.
They are going to be free.
Maps and modes will be available immediately, with all vanity and gameplay in-game store items unlockable through gameplay. Now that's awesome. I like how it's not like a microtransaction system. The decision was made in hopes the multiplayer community wouldn't be fragmented by differing DLC purchases. Naughty Dog will introduce relics, a new currency that can only be earned through gameplay. All DLC will be unlockable using relics, so players invested in the game will be rewarded for playing. Players will be able to complete daily challenges and win multiplayer matches to earn relics. Relics will be used to buy chests, which drop items at random. There's no pay to win in Uncharted 4, though players who don't want to wait to earn relics will be able to buy Uncharted points to unlock the game's items. So I guess in a sense that's sort of like microtransactions. But at the end of the day, the fact that the DLC is all free and just playing the game unlocks all this cool stuff, I think it's awesome. It's refreshing. Now, I know you and I are big multiplayer guys. Preston says he leans more towards campaigns, which I'll admit, Uncharted, the multiplayer is fine, but I think we are both on the same page when we say we're much more excited for the story campaign. But I think the fact that they're implementing this amount of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, very laid-back type multiplayer. It's like, you're not paying to win, the DLC's free, and just play the game, have fun, you're going to unlock cool stuff.
At the same time, though, they're like really putting some content into this multiplayer.
They are, and they're really investing into it, which I think is cool, and that's why I think Naughty Dog just stands out from a lot of developers. Not only do they develop incredible games, but they just every little detail of their games just thought out so well, and the fact that they're trying to really, they don't want the community to be fragmented, I think is just brilliant. And these ideas are ideas I wish they'd implement into a lot of multiplayer games, whether it be Gears of War, Call of Duty, Halo, and what's something we were playing recently where you have to like buy stuff to unlock it. It was like not even fun, because I always liked in games how you have to like complete this challenge, or like for example get 100 headshots to unlock this camo or this weapon. Yeah. I've always preferred that system over just like you'll rack up all these points.
About,
and
like
then
Black Ops 3 or the black market system.
See, that's fine, like surprises are cool, but I don't like just getting stuff. Like 90% of the time I get stuff I don't want or don't need or don't even care about at all.
I feel like the industry is kind of going towards this like loot box system where you get a a chest after you do something and it opens up and you might get something you want, or you might just get a bunch of crap, which is what you usually get.
I like that works in some games for me. I wish it was, I don't even know if this is possible, to develop it in a way where the game is smart enough to analyze your gameplay style and to see how you like to play and always drop items that kind of support that style of gameplay.
I don't know if that's realistic.
I don't think it is at all, but I wish that was possible, because loot can be fun, but in certain games like Black Ops 3, I don't really like the black market system, because half the time I'm getting crap I don't care about.
Right.
But I like how in Naughty Dog, they recognize the fact that we don't want the community to be fragmented. They're like, hey, just play the game and have fun. You're going to unlock some cool stuff along the way.
I'm probably not going to touch that multiplayer a whole lot, just because I've never been a fan of Uncharted or Last of Us multiplayer. It's just not my style. Nothing against it. Depending how many trophies there are for the multiplayer, I'll do it. We'll see what happens.
Totally. Yeah, exciting stuff. Microsoft's E3 2016 plans have been announced officially. This is from Alex Osborne of IGN. Quote, Jacob Alka, with just over a month to go...
He's telling me.
Yes, this is directly to you. With just over a month to go before this year's Electronic Entertainment Expo kicks off in Los Angeles, Microsoft has lifted the veil on its plans for Xbox at the show. I think it's so funny, if you're watching the video, how I'm holding these notes. Last month, this is continuing the quote, by the way. Last month, Microsoft announced the time and date of its E3 2016 media briefing, which will be held on Monday, June 13th at 9:30 a.m. Look forward to our recap of that, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. We will not be present at E3. We will be present in spirit, but we'll be sitting at this table giving our thoughts at all the conferences and such. Continuing on, according to a blog post by Xbox spokesman Larry Major Nelson, I'm Larry Herbs, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. The conference will provide... That's not in the quote, by the way. That was my own. I added that.
What if he put that in the quote?
If I was writing this article, I would have said that. We'll provide an in-depth look at its previously announced games, as well as trailers for unannounced titles coming in 2016 and beyond. The company also confirmed that its Xbox Daily Live News show will be making a return and will be hosted by Herb, as well as, that's a weirdly spelled name, I assume it's Graham Boyd, a.k.a. Xbox Live's AC Bongos. Have you heard of that guy? Yeah. I've never heard of him
before.
I've
heard of AC Bongos.
AC Bongos. Yeah. Oh, interesting. The show will air on Tuesday, June 14th and Wednesday, June 15th from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific time and feature appearances by various members of the gaming industry. We will both be included in that. They care mostly about our appearance, which is right. Cool. We meant to announce that to you guys. I wish. Finally, Microsoft announced that it's also bringing back Xbox Fan Fest, tickets for which will be provide 500 fans access... 500 fans access to the company's E3 media briefing and hands-on time with various upcoming games, as well as the opportunity to meet developers and other members of the gaming industry, end quote.
That would be exciting.
It would. That's pretty cool. I like hearing Microsoft just come out and be like, hey, this is what we're doing. Get excited. That's cool. Yeah.
So, well, they're actually doing something unlike other people.
Yeah. And I will say, in addition to obviously the PlayStation Neo rumors floating around, I'm excited to hear about that. But even at the same time, I'm very excited to hear about their new hardware, because Xbox, like we've said, I think at the end of the day needs it more than PlayStation. So I'm excited to see what they come up with. But that's also something to look forward to. Continuing on in the E3 subject, I should say, Nintendo's E3 plans have also been announced. We kind of briefly discussed it last week. It's kind of been touched on a bit more to put it a little more into perspective. Here we go. This is from Matt Porter of IGN. Quote, at 9 a.m. Pacific time on June 14th, Nintendo of America president and COO Reggie Fils AIM will be kicking off a day-long stream of Nintendo Treehouse live. It will feature gameplay from The Legend of Zelda, with special commentaries from Nintendo developers, as well as behind-the-scenes information. This Treehouse will effectively be replacing Nintendo's normal E3 Direct stream. The next game in the Zelda franchise will be playable at the show for the first time ever, and will in fact be the only playable game at Nintendo's booth. Nintendo hopes by giving fans extended time with it, they'll gain a deeper understanding of what the game will be. The Legend of Zelda is a departure from previous games in the series, as players won't be forced down set paths, and new gameplay mechanics will be added. The game recently got delayed until 2017 in order to prove its quality, end quote. So, we're moderate Nintendo fans at this point. I grew up playing Nintendo exclusively, loved it. I hope they have a huge comeback on the next and Zelda and such. What do you think about this news coming from Nintendo regarding E3?
It's disappointing. I've said many times that I just want Nintendo to stop doing the stupid Direct thing and just have a conference.
Right. Now, it says they're Treehouse Live. It's like a live stream, I think.
Okay.
Is replacing their Direct.
See, I've never watched one of the Directs, so I don't know if it's fair for me to say this, but I'm not a fan of them.
I understand. I've seen them. They're just like little web videos that are like, yeah, this is what's happening.
I feel like you're not reaching your whole audience if you're doing that.
Yeah, it isn't. It doesn't feel as engaging because it's not like a live stage show, which I do miss. Yeah. I think that'd be cool, but apparently the Treehouse thing,
they only have
thing.
Zelda? That's
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Like, I keep smacking my lips a lot the last few weeks. I'm sorry. I hate doing that. I don't do that on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, Zelda's awesome. Like, I'm excited to see the gameplay for it, but that's it.
Yeah,
they
apparently
need something else.
It's like
they need their console to be announced.
If that's all, I mean, don't get me wrong. As we know, Zelda's a huge franchise. It's beloved by millions and millions of people.
Yeah.
Will that alone sell the NX? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, if that's all they're showing off, that's cool, especially for Zelda fans. I'm sure Preston would love to be there and get a taste of the game.
I'm just shocked that they're not releasing their console
We're
this,
all over the
this
place
winter.
With our pronunciations.
No, they're not releasing their console this winter, and they're not announcing it at E3.
Yeah, that's
just weird.
That's kind of crazy. I mean, I'm not the kind of person that wants Nintendo to fail, because I love Nintendo, even though I don't play Nintendo regularly. I don't even own a Wii U. Right. It's just kind of not been as exciting to me in recent years as it has been in the past. But I do hope they make a huge comeback.
Me too.
Anyway, there's plenty of announcement stuff. You know, we have NX, we have Pokemon Sun and Moon is
coming. That's right, yeah. We're supposed to get information on that next week.
Yes. I actually have that in our notes as well.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, Nintendo's a little out
there. This week, actually, when this video goes live.
Yeah, you're right. Speaking of Nintendo, this is from Joe Screbbles, old Joe of IGN. Quote, the financial statements of the company that provides Nintendo's ROM chips used in both consoles and for 3DS game cartridges have sparked speculation as to whether the upcoming Nintendo NX will drop the use of optical disc drives in favor of cartridges. As spotted by the Screen Critics, Chinese memory manufacturer Medtronic is reportedly expecting an increased order of ROM chips from Nintendo, and company chairman Wu Min, I'm really bad at pronouncing Japanese names, forgive me, made specific reference to the NX in his financial briefing, reported by MoneyLeak and translated by NeoGAF through user Jim Cashier, quote, Metronics ROM chips are usually supplied to video game console makers, Nintendo, or video game console maker, Nintendo. Although the sales is an off-season during the first quarter, the revenue is similar compared with the same period last year. Wu Min suggests that Nintendo had just announced it will release a new generation console in March next year, and the console will be launched at the same time in Japan, America, and Europe. So ROM sales is expected to increase in the later half of the year, and it will have a large growth potential. Continues on, says, Screen Critics also reports that Medtronic recently began testing chips with a capacity of 32 gigabytes. That's pretty massive. And that these would be... It could be what Nintendo plans to purchase. Given that the Xbox One and PS4 both use 50 gigabyte capacity Blu-ray discs, and as many games exceed even that, forcing extra features to be downloaded, there's some question as to whether Nintendo would adapt a format that reduced the need for installs, but still required it for many modern games, end quote. That's so weird to me. It's like, the whole NX thing, not only is it still very vague and no one's exactly sure what it is, and the fact that they're not addressing anything about it at E3, it's like there are so many unanswered questions that it just adds fuel to the fire, yeah. Saying they're considering cartridges instead of discs.
Yeah.
What is Nintendo doing?
How big are these cartridges?
I said 32 gigs, and then obviously...
No, I mean like size. Like, are they going to be Nintendo 64 cartridges?
Yeah. No. In a nostalgic sense, I'm like, that's pretty cool.
No, that's so dumb.
But it seems very weird. Yeah. I don't know what to think about that at all.
I don't know, man.
I mean, all I really have to say is for the sake of nostalgia, cool, but yeah. I don't see how that benefits.
I just don't know what they're doing.
I don't know. And it's still a lot of unanswered questions we're hoping to have answered in the near future, but since we just read a quote from Mr. Joe Scrubbles, let's continue on. This is also from him. Quote, Watch Dogs 2 will have a new lead character if an actor's now hidden Instagram account is anything to go by. Spotted by NerdLeaks, actor Court King, it's a cool name, uploaded an image of glasses and a bandana wearing 3D model with the caption, quote, Had a blast doing motion capture work as the lead character in a new video game series, end quote, following up with hashtag Watch Dogs 2.
Whoops.
Yeah. As mentioned above, King has since made his profile private, but a cached version, I think that's how you pronounce it, a cached or cached, C-A-C-H-E-D. Is it cached?
No, I've never known how to say that word.
I think it's cached. Forgive us, our grammar is awful on this podcast.
I think it's cached.
Okay, I'll go with that. But a cached version, that lawnmower, but a cached version of his account page shows the post in question. There's a chance that King means a new main character as opposed to a replacement for the first game's protagonist, Aiden Pierce. That said, the series creative director, Jonathan Morin, has said that Ubisoft would be, quote, taking risks with the sequel. It could be the right choice to swap out Pierce. Our review of the original called the protagonist, quote, an empty trench coat as far as personality goes, end quote. Now, I think you and I and Preston... Way back in the day, we discussed what we'd like to see in Watch Dogs 2, and I think one of the main things, I don't know if you agree with this, I remember us just mentioning the fact that we'd like to see a new character.
Yeah.
Did you say that as well?
I probably agreed with it.
Yeah, because Aiden Pierce...
He sucked.
Yeah, he was very boring.
I don't remember anything about the guy.
Me neither. He was very boring. And it's funny, now don't get me wrong, I thought his outfit was cool, but yeah. Everyone joked in the sense that like he's supposed to look inconspicuous when in reality he looks more conspicuous than anyone. But he was a very... empty character, it felt like they said how they described.
I don't remember anything about that game besides like hacking stuff with my phone.
Yeah, I remember hacking stuff and I remember stealthing around a bit.
I don't remember anything.
Yeah, it wasn't very memorable, but I remember liking it to the point where I could see the potential in a sequel if they really put a lot of effort and thought into it.
They can turn it around.
Right. Yeah, they can.
They have a good concept.
Uh-huh. And I think this all but confirms that there's a new lead character, which I think is the right way to go. I mean, Watch Dogs was a nice taste of what could be done, but I think the sequel, let's hope it's like an Assassin's Creed situation where Assassin's Creed 1 was fun, it was awesome, and then Assassin's Creed 2 took everything to the next level with a brand new character. Let's hope that same effect happens in Watch Dogs 2, because I enjoyed the gameplay enough to be pretty excited for a sequel, especially if there's a new character and a new setting. I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm excited yet. I'll have to... wait for the reveal and see what's going on.
Yeah, I think it's safe to assume we'll see a reveal at E3 for sure.
Yeah,
I think it's
so.
About time for that. But yeah, I think that's cool. I thought it was an interesting little tidbit.
Is Ubisoft having a conference like they always do?
I think, yeah. Yeah, they usually have a heavy presence at E3, so I'm pretty sure they are. They may have even announced their day and their time. I just haven't looked into it. But yeah, Watch Dogs 2, probably on the horizon. Jacob Alkin continuing on, Dishonored 2 was officially announced to be coming out November 11th, 2016. Did you ever play the first one, the remastered one?
I almost finished the first one, then I stopped playing for some reason.
Okay, that's fine.
I should probably finish it before.
Yeah, I mean, you got plenty of time. Comes out in November, but when we get to this day and age, it feels like we blink and it's the next year already.
Right.
So, I mean, it's amazing to think we're almost 4 years into this console generation.
I know.
And we may about to be, or we may be on the edge of progressing to the next console already. Yeah, it's pretty crazy times we live in, but Dishonored 2 is officially announced. I love Dishonored 1. I know Preston loves it. It's probably my favorite stealth game of all time.
Yeah, you guys have said that.
Yeah, I love it a lot, and I'm very excited for Dishonored 2, so that's cool that it has an official release
date. I don't know
date.
If I love it. It's just, it's a fun game.
It is, and I like the sense that it's made primarily to be a stealth game, but it can be played in an action-packed kind of way.
Yeah.
So, it's fun. It's fun. I'm excited for Dishonored 2. Jacob Alka from Matt Porter of IGN. Quote, Bethesda has released a new trailer for Fallout 4's Far Harbor DLC and announced it will come out on May 19th. Far Harbor is set to be a huge piece of downloadable content featuring what Bethesda says its largest landmass ever for an add-on. It includes a new case from Valentine's Detective Agency and has you traveling off the coast of Maine to Far Harbor. The harbor's extremely high levels of radiation creating a more aggressive location. On top of the main storyline, there will be a new faction of quests, settlement, creatures, and dungeons. Your reward for exploring will be higher level armor and weapons, end quote. Mm. You excited for Far Harbor?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of the trailer? I'll get to it, but
me neither.
It was good.
Yeah, it was cool.
I think the villains are going to be the children of Adam or whatever they are. That's pretty cool.
It is cool.
I feel like those guys were pretty unexplored in the main game.
Yeah.
Maybe I just didn't come across them very much. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of my favorite parts about just Fallout's lore in general and the gameplay is just coming across crazy stuff and not fully understanding it.
Right.
I kind of like how stuff goes unexplained, not only in games but in movies where it's like, this is a faction of weirdos that exist in this world,
right.
Which I think is cool.
Fallout has a lot of...
Yeah, plenty of that to go around for sure, but I thought the trailer looked pretty cool. It wasn't like mind-blowing, but I'm excited because I love Fallout 4.
I know you do.
And the fact that I like Valentine as a character is cool. That's a case of his.
It's cool.
Brand new massive area.
Yeah, you is probably my favorite companion, so that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited for Far Harbor. So that's pretty cool. May 19th, ladies and gentlemen. Expect at least a Let's Play from us around that time. Continuing on by Andrew Goldfarb of IGN, quote, EA has announced that Titanfall developer Respawn Entertainment is working on a new third-person Star Wars game. I'm going to consider this our topic of the show because this relates back to a podcast we had a couple months ago.
Yeah.
In a post on EA's official site, Patrick Soderlund, executive vice president of EA Studios, confirmed that the game will be a, quote, all-new third-person action-adventure game set in the Star Wars universe, end quote. Yeah. And that Respawn's project... joined Star Wars titles in development at EA Studios, including Visceral Games, DICE, Capital Games, BioWare, and Motive. That's awesome. The project will be led by Stig Asmussen, a former God of War 3 creative director who joined Respawn in June 2014. I'm going to veer off subject for a second. That I didn't know. That's very cool. Continuing on, quote, this is from... Mr. Stig, we promise to pay respect to the Star Wars legacy at all times, a fact that will be constantly reinforced and honored as a central game design tenet, end quote. Osterman wrote in a blog post on Respawn's site, quote, fans should expect the exemplary level of quality first established at Respawn with Titanfall, a game that epitomizes our studio's dedication to slick, larger-than-life action and fun, groundbreaking mechanics. At EA right now, we have multiple studios building a variety of great Star Wars games spanning different genres. We are all united by our team's passion for Star Wars stories, characters, and adventures, Soderlund wrote. There's never been a better time to be a Star Wars fan. The passion we're seeing for Star Wars from gamers, whether they've been along for the ride since Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope, or were introduced to the magic of Star Wars with the Star Wars The Force Awakens, is fueling our development teams and our partners to create unique interactive extensions of this deep, meaningful universe. As a game maker, nothing is more exciting, end quote.
Yeah, EA is lucky they get to make all these Star Wars games.
Yes, they are,
I'm sure
dude.
So many other studios would, studios would love to get their hands on Star Wars.
Right, yeah, I would, it's one thing to be able to say, like, I worked on a Star Wars movie. I can't imagine how cool that is to be able to say that, but to be able to also work on a game, because there's been a lot of great Star Wars games, and there's hopefully a lot of great ones coming in our future. I think it's very cool that Respawn, not only did they start as a first-person shooter developer with Titanfall, that's very impressive, excited for Titanfall 2, but the fact that they're going to a third-person action-adventure game, that is so cool, and it's unique from them. Even though they're still a relatively new studio, it's cool that they're doing something different.
I think the big thing here is that it's a third-person action game.
Amen, brother.
Which hopefully is going to include some lightsaber mechanics.
Yeah, hopefully. I certainly hope so. I think this is a good time to tie back to our podcast. It was several episodes ago. It was very short. I think it was the week after Force Awakens came out. We had a podcast titled pitch the next Star Wars video game.
We did.
Now, I will include that link in the description for those that are interested. We pitched our ideas for what we'd love to see in the next Star Wars game. We had a lot of fun ones, and it was one of my favorite conversations.
Was Zach on that one?
He was, yeah.
That was like his last one, I think.
I think so, yeah. I think that was easily one of my favorite podcasts we've done, because one, we're all big Star Wars fans, and the fact that we could pitch our own ideas for Star Wars games was cool.
That was the thing, though. Like, you pitched such a good game that it like took all the great ideas that I had, and I didn't even have a good one to pitch.
Well, I think
anymore.
We all just have similar ideas, yeah. And a lot of things we want to see, and one of the main things we all said is like, we'd love to see another third person action Star Wars game. Obviously, lightsabers are a must, but I'm also open to just in general a great third person shooter, yeah. in a Star Wars,
yeah.
universe.
I wouldn't mind having like a slick hero like Han Solo. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be Han Solo, just something
right.
like that.
That kind of
or a bounty
character.
Hunter.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, we won't go into detail necessarily about our ideas, because we just went into depth and talked for like over an hour about it.
It's a long one.
If you guys are interested in hearing that after this podcast, or even now, forget us right now and jump to that podcast and listen to our stories and
leave a comment.
Yeah, let us know your ideas for Star Wars games you'd like to see in this video specifically, or on that podcast if you jump to it and check it out, because we had a lot of fun having that discussion.
Yeah.
But the fact that he confirms that there are multiple Star Wars games in development is so exciting.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know...
Obviously, some are already made. Some are being continually updated, so...
Yeah, and we have Lego Force Awakens coming soon. I'm excited for that. We should do some co-op Let's Plays of that. That'd be
we
awesome.
Should, yeah.
I can already see you and me. We need to do our side-by-side thing we did with Overwatch and play through most
of
Lego Star
Wars. I'm
going
to platinum that game for sure.
Yeah. Heck yeah. I'm really excited for that, but... Third-person action game coming from Respawn Entertainment. That's exciting. I even said BioWare's working on one.
Yeah.
Let's hope it's KOTOR. It should be. I hope it is.
God,
awesome.
What if it is?
Oh, man, I'm so excited. But regardless, the fact that they confirmed that all of these games are in development just gets me really excited. I love Star Wars. Obviously, I'm looking forward to Rogue One, looking forward to Episode 8 and all these Star Wars games. He's right, man. It is a phenomenal time to be a Star Wars fan. I mean, one would argue the Golden Age is the original trilogy, but now there's like...
It's so much more than the movies.
The whole world loves it. There's the movies. There's the games now.
Yeah, like TV shows.
Yeah, like Star Wars Rebels and Clone Wars. It's just like Star Wars is such a wonderful thing, and it brings so much joy to so many people.
Mm-hmm.
So many fans around the world, and the fact that we can all enjoy these awesome things from so many talented people together is exciting.
Yep.
So I'm pumped. But as I said, if you're interested in hearing our own ideas for what we'd like to see in a Star Wars game, link in the description below. Jacob, continuing on, Persona 5's trailer was released. Did you see it?
Nope.
You didn't see it? Wow.
I didn't see it.
Now, I know Preston, I haven't talked to him about it. I know he's probably obviously seen it. Very cool trailer. I have not finished Persona 4. I played through a good chunk of the game. Preston's played, I think, like 70 or 80 hours plus in the game. He's played it a lot and still hasn't finished it. But I know he's heavily invested in that game. And obviously, I've only played a good bit of Persona 4. I haven't played any of the other ones. But I enjoyed enough to be very excited for the fifth one. But it was announced, and it's coming to Japan September 15th, 2016, but the Western release date is yet to be announced.
I assume it'll be like a month later.
Yeah, probably something like that. We'll hope so, at least. But, coming out...
It's kind of like how Dark Souls was this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, September 15th, 2016, that's cool. It's like I said, it's cool that all of these speculations and rumors are kind of coming full circle. Now we're getting release dates. We're getting official announcements. Everyone's kind of coming out of the closet about all these cool things. So that's cool. Just another announcement, another game to get excited for in the fall of this year.
Yes, yes, sir.
But yeah, as you stated earlier, Jacob, Pokemon Sun and Moon details from Joe Scrabbles again.
Old
quote,
Joe.
More details about Pokemon Sun and Moon will be announced next Tuesday, May 10th, which is tomorrow if you're listening on Monday, May 9th. Pokemon director, forgive me, Junichi Masuda, I think I got that one right, made the announcement on his blog saying that information would be revealed around... 5 a.m. Pacific time and 8 a.m. Eastern time. 1 p.m. What's BST?
British Standard Time.
Is it?
I think so.
Oh, okay, cool. Thanks for clarifying.
I might just be really wrong.
Yeah. So
I think that's right, though.
That's cool. I've loved Pokemon since I was a child. I told you, I think I shocked you when I said I'd never played all the way through a Pokemon game.
Yeah, that is shocking to me. I literally grew up on those.
I told you.
More so than anything else.
Yeah, I feel like a part of my childhood I missed out on because everyone played them except for me. Now, it's weird because I collected the cards, I watched the TV show, but like some idiot, I didn't play the games. I guess I didn't even realize they existed until I was in
middle
school.
Maybe you just didn't have friends that... played them a lot.
What's the thing? I did.
That was a big thing for me because it was like all my little group of friends, we all played together. And we had like link cables. We traded Pokemon together. We battled.
Yep.
It was great.
Yeah, that's what's weird is that the whole reason I got into Pokemon is because I had a friend in elementary school who was obsessed with Pokemon.
Yeah.
Cards upon, mounds of cards. And that's how I got into them. And I was aware of the TV show, watched it, collected all the cards. But somehow, hanging out with this guy, I never played the games. I don't know why, but I'm going to be interested in Sun Moon. Like I said, I've been saying, I think since we started this show, since we started, it's obvious game. I was like, I need to get a 3DS. I need to get a Wii U. Still haven't done any of these things.
I almost got one, but I went on a spring break trip instead.
Right. Lord knows the thousands of dollars I spent on PS4 games and controllers, and I had to buy a new PS4 because my other one crapped out. Spent thousands of dollars on Xbox One and PS4 stuff, but still haven't bought Nintendo stuff. Maybe I'm just a big hypocrite and liar. Maybe I don't like Nintendo.
You probably are.
No, but for real, I'm excited to hear about Sun and Moon. I think I'm going to trust
see
my...
what's new.
Yeah, you and me both. I'm going to trust my heart and just give in to my Pokemon desires, finally, when this comes around. Because I, believe it or not...
I wish you'd start at the beginning, though.
So yeah,
the original Red and Blue are
now
great games.
I will say I played through half of Blue when it was I got it on my iPhone. A friend of mine, actually Nick from Among the Valiant, our band, jailbroke my phone or something.
I remember
like
that
last
you
year.
You told me how to do it too.
Yeah, and I played through like half of Blue. I can't remember why I stopped. Probably some other game came out.
But
it's cool that we got more details coming tomorrow. So. Exciting stuff. Jacob, that's about all the gaming news I had this week.
Okay.
There's a lot of solid stories in there. A lot of announcements, which is cool. Out of
all
that, I'm most excited about Respawn's Star Wars game. That's really exciting.
Yeah, that and Overwatch. I'm just pumped for that.
I
can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
Literally.
If we have time, let's play some this evening. I'd like to do that with you, Jacob, if you're open.
I can't be
to
up
that.
Too late, but...
Me neither. I gotta get up at like 5:30, so... Mm. No, I gotta get up at 5. That blows. I'll survive. That's life, though. Yeah, moving on, Jacob. Just kind of wrap up the podcast here. A lot of fun, mostly Marvel news, but just superhero movie news in general, because we just saw Civil War, like we said at the beginning of the podcast. If you want to hear a review, youtube.com/itsobviousgaming in our review playlist. We talk all about it. Great movie. Batman's solo movie was confirmed to be, quote, crammed with villains. How do you feel about that?
I don't like that.
I'm going to be honest with you, Jacob.
Every time that happens, it usually doesn't pan out very well.
Right. I'm going to be honest. There's a part of me that likes that, but the majority of my feelings are I don't like that. Now, let me start from the beginning.
Yeah.
I've said this many times, and not only with Batman, with everything, especially superheroes, I always appreciate a smaller story on a smaller scale that's... whether it be dramatic, mostly like a dramatic or action, whatever it might be, I prefer smaller stories versus like big crazy stories. Like that's why I liked the story in Arkham Asylum and City for the Batman games, for example, way more than I like Arkham Knight's story. Arkham Knight's was great. There was nothing wrong with it, but that just doesn't get me excited when it's like, it's the end of the world or it's the end of the city. It's the end of Batman. It's the end of this. Everything comes to an end here. I don't get excited about that stuff. I don't need that all the time. It's fun. There's a time and place for that for sure, but me personally, I like smaller scale stories. Now, at the same time, in contrast to that, the fact that they're like, this will feature a majority of Batman's rogues gallery. It's cool because we may, this almost confirms we'll be seeing characters we've never seen on screen for Batman. Well, I don't know which ones they haven't technically shown. They've shown a lot of them on screen, but
yeah.
It'd be cool to see them all come together. Now, people have made a good point. They're like, hey... on paper, this sounds like a bad idea, but what if it was an Arkham Asylum type situation where he gets locked in the asylum and has to just deal with all this craziness and one epic night of being Batman with all these villains? Now, that's an idea I'm open to. I'd like to see that, even though people would be like, you're ripping off Arkham Asylum. I think that would work in a movie sense. And it'd be like, have all these villains, which is cool because we get to see all of them, but at the same time, it's on a small scale because it's kind of confined to Arkham Asylum. That could be really cool if done well.
Yeah. I just don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of on edge as well. The only...
Go ahead.
No, you go.
I can't help but think about Spider-Man 3, when none of those villains were done well. The first two before that were, you know, people liked those movies, the first two Spider-Mans. But when that third one came, you had Venom, who else, what's the Sand guy called?
Sandman,
and there was one other, right?
There was Venom, Sandman, and technically Hobgoblin, but Hobgoblin, yeah. But they in the movie they called him New Green Goblin.
Yeah.
It was Harry Osborn.
Like, I just feel like even though it's only three guys, I feel like if you don't have one main villain, it just gets too messy and
right.
the story's all over the place. And I don't know. I just like a more traditional one villain. You know, you got to stick to your guns and, you know, take him down.
Right. I feel the exact way. I'm in the same boat with people that were hoping for the Red Hood story brought to the big screen. Yeah. I think that's an awesome Batman story.
I just think they can't go wrong with Joker.
Yeah.
They got a good Joker, I think. And, yeah,
from what it looks like with Jared Leto. So I was hoping for the Red Hood stuff.
And then we got you got Batman and Robin, that movie with Mr. Freeze.
Yeah,
Poison
obviously
Ivy.
The best Batman film of them all. It's going to be hard to beat that one.
Man, that was great.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little weird, but I was going to say, lastly, that the only hope I have for it is the fact that Ben Affleck is going to be directing. So I have hope for it in that sense. He's a very talented director, but hopefully just because he's being a director, hopefully, I feel like Ben Affleck is well-established enough in Hollywood to be like, no, DC, you're going to listen to me and let me do my thing. I'm not doing your bidding. Yeah. And hopefully DC's smart enough to trust him. Be like, all right, Ben Affleck, you tell your Batman story. Yeah.
It's just interesting how DC's struggling so much when Marvel...
They're
doing everything
right. They're killing it. And there's a bunch of rumors floating around that a bunch of the DC directors are dropping out of their movies. Like, there's heavy rumors floating around that James Wan is going to drop out of the Aquaman movie. Apparently, the Flash's director wants to drop out. Like, that is not a good sign at all.
No.
Apparently, they're just creatively restricted. And, like, they're not allowed to really implement any of their own style or ideas, which I can imagine as any director, that would be annoying. So, it's weird.
Definitely.
But, like I said, I love Batman, and I loved Ben Affleck's Batman and Batman v Superman. Hopefully, they're already describing this as like, we want this to be the definitive Batman movie. I hope and pray that's the case, but we'll have to just wait and see.
I don't know if that'll ever be Christian Bale for me.
No.
Batman.
Yeah, I know a lot of people still love Christian Bale.
The Dark Knight is such a fantastic movie. It is. One of the best movies of all time, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, totally. Even if you take Batman out of the movie and just make it different characters with the same story, it's still a very impressive, awesome story. So it's filmmaking as a whole is just phenomenal. I'll never forget seeing that for the first time.
Right.
But moving on, Jacob, I know we mentioned Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and 2 earlier in relation to Captain America. But supposedly the Russo brothers, who also directed Civil War and Winter Soldier, as we stated, will be directing Part 1 and 2. And they're going to rename Part 1 and 2. Which I think is cool because I hate how, like, for example, the Hunger Games is like, Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 and 2. And it's like, Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows Part 1 and 2, which that you have to do because that's the name of the book.
Yeah.
But for example, they're like, Infinity War Part 1 and 2 will have different titles, which it could be something like, I don't know, like Infinity War something something, and then the second would be Infinity War this.
So it's still going to be Avengers Infinity War or something.
I think. People are making, I mean, there's a lot of joke comments too, but some people are making serious comments like, what if it was like, Part 1 was called Avengers Infinity Gauntlet, and then Part 2 was called Avengers Infinity War? To make them still tied together, but like Gauntlet is like when Thanos gets the gauntlet, and then Part 2 is when the all-out war happens.
How many pieces does he have at this point? Three?
I can't remember. Okay.
When was the last time we saw
him? I think the Collector has the majority of them.
The Collector. Is that guy?
From the Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah. There's been so many Marvel movies that kind of lost track.
I can't wait for that sequel. When's that coming out?
That comes out next summer.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so does Spider-Man next summer.
Nice.
So that's going to be an
awesome
summer.
Marvel movies in one summer?
Yeah, I mean, they've done that before.
Huh. Okay.
So that's pretty cool. But
is there another Thor sequel?
Yes. I can't remember when that comes out, though. I think that comes out in like a November or something. Maybe
that's
November
when the
of
last
next year.
One did, I think.
Yeah. And I know Black Panther or Doctor Strange is in there somewhere. I think
Doctor Strange
comes out
this year.
Yeah, it comes out. It's not this summer. It's in the fall or winter?
It's like October or September or something.
Okay. I can't remember the exact date.
It's definitely this year.
But, continuing in the Marvel realm, Kevin Feige states that Marvel is, quote, creatively and emotionally interested in creating a standalone franchise around Black Widow. How do you feel about that?
I'd watch that. Do they mean like a movie or a TV show?
I think a movie or with sequels potentially.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, from what I've read, have always been like, why doesn't Black Widow have her own movie? I can understand why there isn't a female-led Marvel movie yet. Now, me personally, I don't care about that kind of stuff, whether it's a male or female. For example, Daisy Ridley, I think, is amazing as Rey, as a lead character in Star Wars. And I don't even think any differently of the fact that whether it's a man or a woman.
Right.
So a lot of people are up in arms about that in that sense, which, whatever, that's fine. That's their opinion. That's the way they feel it's cool. Me personally, it doesn't make a difference to me, but I'm open to a Black Widow movie. Not only because she's a cool character and does Scarlett Johansson have a great screen presence and she's enjoyable to watch, but I think the backstory they kind of really fleshed out over like Avengers 1 and 2, where it shows her flashback of being like a little girl and being trained by the Russians to be an assassin.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of story that can be told there in a really unique way.
Yeah. On top of that, like, they always like talked about her relationship with Hulk in the Avenger movies. Like that could be a good way to put Hulk back in a movie. You know, they're not making any more Hulk movies.
Mm-hmm. Now, Hulk is going to appear in the next Thor movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's confirmed. That's cool. That is cool.
I'm glad they're doing that.
Yeah, I think that will make Thor's third movie a lot more interesting.
That's kind of cool, like two really strong guys.
I'd love to see Hulk in some armor, kind of like from Planet Hulk, because I don't think they're going to actually end up doing, well, at least from what people say, they don't think that they're going to do another standalone Hulk movie.
Yeah.
But it'd be cool to see him take on the look of Planet Hulk, where he has like Asgardian Asgardian battle armor and stuff on Hulk would be cool.
I wonder who the villain's going to be in Thor then, if Hulk's going to be there.
It's called Thor Ragnarok, which, I'm not mistaken, is an established comic arc in Thor. Yeah. I don't know anything
I'm
about
sure it.
It
is.
But supposedly it's based off something else. But cool. Jacob, we've seen the official picture of what the Power Rangers look like in their next big movie. What'd you think of the costumes?
Only because I really like Iron Man and that sort of thing. I think they look pretty slick and kind of cool, but I could see why someone wouldn't like them for like nostalgia sake. They look very different from any other Power Ranger uniform, to my knowledge. But I mean, I used to really like Power Rangers, but I wasn't like the biggest fan. So I mean, I'm completely fine with how they look now.
Right.
What's your opinion?
A couple of different things. I will start by saying I do like them. They are actually almost exactly what I expected them to look like. Really? When they announced, like, oh, we're going to have, you know, the fun charm of the Power Rangers, but kind of like a more mature tone to kind of bring this series into the new age and like satisfy old fans and new, which is cool. And they also said, I think at one point, like, there will be redesigns, like, to bring a fresh take, which obviously we got that first impression from Rita Repulsa's look with Elizabeth Banks and the green and the craziness, like, snake look. That looks pretty cool. And then they released a picture of the Power Rangers. And now the masks, although they're not completely like the originals, they're close enough to still have that nostalgic feeling and still look like the original ones in a way. And I like how they're brightly colored. They're not like toned down color-wise. Like, it's very bright red, bright yellow, pink. And I think easily the coolest looking one, just because I love black as a Black Ranger. He almost looks like the Crisis suit.
Yeah.
So he looks really cool. But I think I like how they're all brightly colored. They didn't shy away from that. Even Rita's very brightly colored green, which I think is cool. But and obviously everyone's making the Iron Man comparison because they have like the blue thing on their chest. Yeah. Now, I read details about the suits. Supposedly, it's kind of like Spider-Man's black suit, like the symbiotic suit. Apparently, it's like an alien organism that like grows on them. So like not anyone can just get into the Power Ranger suits. And I'll have to look at the picture again. I can't remember, but they're morphers. You know how like they have them on their wrist? When they morph, like, I think the suit like spawns out of their morphers. You know, like when they like, it's morphin' time, and they like put their morpher on their belt and like their suits appear. Yeah. I think in this it'll literally like, from what it looks like at least, it looks like it's gonna like spawn out of their belt and like go on to them. Which I think is cool.
Power Rangers is so goofy.
It is. Yeah. it's I think to make it in like more of like, even though it's not real world at all, but to make it a more like semi believable take based on movies we have nowadays with superheroes and stuff, it's kind of cool. It's like, it's an alien technology that's why it can do what it does and stuff, which is good enough for me. That's fine. Yeah. And like I've said, as long as they don't make the theme song all dubsteppy, then I'm good to go. If they keep that metal guitar, man, heck
yeah.
Man,
they might.
I'm so, and it almost looks like they're obviously their original helmets were shaped like dinosaurs and like creatures and stuff. Like, you know, it's like the saber-toothed tiger, the Triceratops, T-Rex, pterodactyl and stuff. So their helmets don't look like the shape of the animals anymore, so I don't know if their Megazord is going to be based off animals or if it's going to be something else, but it doesn't look like it is. I don't know. But like I at the same time, I said like I do like them, but part of me feels like there's a lot going on. There's like the silver lining through all of it. Obviously, if it's an alien suit, it's got to look very like organic looking in a way, which it kind of does. But you know, there's an Iron Man comparison. But overall, I like them. I'm open to it. It's cool. At the end of the day, as long as they don't make the theme song all electronic and dubsteppy, that's fine with me.
I think they'll I don't know. I think they'll stick to the original. A part of me wants to think they will.
They'll
add some minor changes to it, maybe.
I think they're, Lord willing, they're smart enough to do that.
I have a feeling there's going to be some electric something in it, though.
There probably
just
will be.
Just to spice it up.
Now, I hope at least there's got to be the guitar in there, but I'm fine if they add, like, some orchestral stuff to it or, like, some synthy stuff. But as long as the guitar is still the main drive of the song,
yeah,
I'm down. I'm telling you, dude, I will get so pumped if the opening trailer just has that song in it.
Yeah.
Like, bring me teenagers with attitude. I don't know if they'll still have that in it, but, man, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So, but I hope, at the end of the day, for Power Rangers, I hope it's as fun and as exciting and action-packed as, like, Civil War, for example. Because not only are the fight scenes amazing, but you just have a big smile on your face the whole time. So hopefully the cast has a lot of chemistry and a lot of humor to it. That's what I'm hoping for. Lastly, Jacob Alka. Han Solo, officially cast, as the rumors are speculating. Alden Ehrenreich. Can never pronounce his name correctly. Now the weed eater's going out there. This has been a heck of a noisy podcast. I'm so sorry if you guys have been able to hear this noise the whole time. Hopefully it's dumbed down a bit after the editing. Man, that's so funny. But he was officially cast. I think that's cool because he's a relatively unknown actor. You never saw Hail Caesar, right? If you watch that movie, you'll know what I mean. He's super entertaining. And when I found out that he was in the casting rumors, I'm like, holy crap. At the end of the day, I still think it's a little unnecessary, but Dan Lester, a good friend of the show, informed me that Phil Lord and Chris Miller were the directors of 21 and 2 Jump Street and the Lego Movie, and their comedic timing and their direction, I think, is just brilliant, and those guys are amazing directors to me. Yeah. And when he informed me that they're going to be directing this movie, I was like, holy crap, that actually gives me hope. As unnecessary as I think the movie is, the fact that they're directing it, that they cast this guy, it actually gets me genuinely excited. Yeah. So that's cool. What do you think?
I'm nervous about it still, but
yeah, hopefully I don't want it to taint Han Solo's legacy or the Star Wars universe. At the same time, we can't really say that. Although we have an appreciation and love for the prequels because we grew up with them, when you really take a step back, as goofy and as terrible as those movies are considered on a film standpoint, they didn't ruin Star Wars. I mean, Star Wars is still very successful. It's still beloved. It's killing it right now. So if this movie turns out to be very stupid, which I don't think it will because the director's very talented, the main actor is very talented, I think it'll be a good movie, but hopefully it's done in a way that still feels like it's part of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it's weird, but I'm open to it because of the director and the actor. You have any closing thoughts, Jacob?
Not really. Just I hope they don't. It's Han Solo we're talking about.
Yeah.
It might be the most important character in Star Wars. So
yeah, as far as
fans go.
Yeah, he's a big deal. And the fact that, spoiler alert, by the way, there's no way you couldn't have heard this by now, but just in case, he's dead now.
Yeah.
So it's also, someone made a point too, not that it really matters, not that you'd expect Han Solo to die in a young Han Solo, even if he hadn't died in Force Awakens, obviously you know he's not going to die in his Solo movie, but since you know his end, I don't know if that'll play a part in making it more exciting or less exciting in the Solo movie, but no matter how high the stakes get, you're never going to fear for his life or Chewie's life, so.
Right.
I don't know what they're going to do about that, but maybe it'll just be a really fun, entertaining console movie, him running around doing crazy stuff. I don't know.
We'll see.
Has potential. We'll hope for the best. But Jacob, that's all I really had this evening.
Yeah, close us out.
It was an honor and a pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for joining us. This is, I'll be honest with you, I'm very thankful for the job I have, the friends and family I have. I love them all. So thankful for it.
Wow.
But this podcast and this YouTube channel
is above them all.
Almost. Not all the love for my family, but as far as hobbies go and things that I hope to become a full-time gig at one point, I hope and pray that's the case because I love doing this every week. It gets me so excited. It gets me out of bed a lot. I mean, it wasn't 5 years ago when we weren't doing this, if someone's like, you got to get out of bed at 8 o'clock to shoot a podcast or to do anything at 8 o'clock on a Saturday, I'd be like, no, leave me alone. I'd be pissed. But, dude, I'd get up at 4 a.m. and do this if we had to.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I can't thank you enough. I know I've said it 100 times. We appreciate you so very much. If there's anything at all you guys want to talk about from this week, last week, any of the news, anything off topic, by all means, comment down below. We will respond. We love having conversations with you guys. But yeah, we covered a lot of news. It was fun. If you liked the video, please give it a like. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe for more. We'd love to talk to you guys down the road. As I said before, join us every week on this podcast. We love talking to you guys. Join us for Let's Plays this week, Uncharted 4. Get excited.
Oh, yeah. I'm pumped.
Oh, yeah. But like, comment, subscribe. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Join us on
Facebook.
That's what it is. Don't use it often. It's funny because whenever I make a post on Facebook, it's like 6 people saw this. I'm like, well, that's better than none. But anyway, regardless, connect with us there as well if you want to stay connected. But as always, my name is Garrett Drake. This is Jacob Alka. This has been the It's Obvious podcast, where my best friends and I join every single week to discuss video games, movies, comics, TV, things like toilet stories or random stories that make no sense whatsoever.
Which we spend like 30 minutes talking about at the beginning.
I hope you guys don't hate us for that. And I hope you enjoyed the garden work in my backyard, lawnmowers and weed eaters the entire time.
Someone's got to do it.
Yeah, it was a very unique touch on our podcast this evening.
Yeah.
Very unique
sound.
We'll see
how it sounds.
Yeah, hopefully it was not terribly noisy. But ladies and gentlemen, as I said, thank you so very much. My name's Gary Drake. This is Jacob Alka. Where it's Obvious Gaming. We'll skate you again. We will catch you again very soon.
And we'll skate you.